States across the nation are re-examining and changing their policies on the use of solitary confinement cells in their prisons. Wisconsin has changed its policies, and California, one of the largest prison systems in the nation, has also changed its policies. Wisconsin I has asked the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to do an interview explaining the changes to our policy on solitary confinement cells. So far, no luck, but Wisconsin I will keep asking. Wisconsin I is also working with the Center on Investigative Journalism, which sued the Department of Corrections and, in a settlement, got the changed policies explained. Today, Wisconsin I is at the Madison Public Library, where a model of a solitary confinement cell in Wisconsin has been built, a model designed by our guest, Mr. Tlaib Akbar, who, a former Wisconsin prison inmate who spent 360 days in a solitary cell like this.
That's correct, sir.
Well, Tlaib, thank you. Shall we go in? And you can tell us about life in a cell?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, Tlaib, too familiar an environment for you, sir?
Absolutely, it is, Steve.
Well, Wisconsin I viewers are entitled to know a little bit more about you. I mean, you made some wrong choices earlier in your life. Can you talk about that just for a little bit?
I did, Steve. I did make some wrong choices in my life, and some wrong choices were made against me. But that's another chapter. I've been to prison for a number of different crimes. Burglary, forgery, count one, count two, sexual assault.
Second degree sexual assault.
That's correct, second degree.
And you were given 20 years, 10 on each count?
I was, Steve.
Okay. So you were in prison then a total of how long, Mr. Akbar?
Near 19 years, just past 19 years, except for jail time.
Okay. And you were released when, sir?
I was released October the 10th, 2013.
Okay. Well, we're in, let's go back a minute. This model of a solitary cell in a Wisconsin prison, is this just like the one that you served your time in?
Absolutely, Steve. This is the real deal. This is a replica of the very cell that I was in, because I counted it brick by brick and inch by inch, foot by foot, and I drew it.
Well, let's see. We have a bed and a wash basin, and then is that an intercom so you can hear announcements and the staff can talk to people like you in here, sir?
And it is, Steve. There is an intercom where they can talk. They can talk to you, but you can't talk to them. And if you call on that, it's other than an emergency, then you get another infraction for using that. So you can only use that in case of a severe emergency.
Okay.
And you have to be bleeding bad.
Okay.
They have a switch right here, which you can only dim the light to about 60%, and the light stays on 24/7.
Now, is that the only window that was in your cell, the one where the guards could watch you?
Well, Steve, that's one window that they could see through, but on the back there would be another window. But to save space and time, we didn't make one here.
Okay.
And that window, most times you can see another brick wall, or it has Oplek glass on it, so you couldn't see through it, or all you could see is a shadow.
Okay. So you were in solitary for how many days, sir?
I've been in solitary confinement for like 360 days.
Continuous days?
Continuous. They make it to be about 10 months.
Yes.
Following a program, step program.
Okay.
If you get the step program, you may get out in 10 months. You may get out in 6 months. It only depends how they promote you.
Now, how late in your prison sentence did you end up in solitary? And people end up in solitary for different reasons. They can do hostages, they can assault inmates, they can assault guards. What were the circumstances, just the basic, that led to you being assigned to solitary?
Usually it would be disobeying order. That's one of the biggest things that I would go into solitary confinement for, disobeying order. Staff would tell me to do something, or staff would make some type of order that I didn't feel was right against me, and I would deny it or reject it, and I would go. other times I've gone to solitary confinement cell for helping people do legal work, passing papers, stuff like that, which is unauthorized transfer mm-hmm. paper.
Were you ever assigned to solitary because of violence on your part?
No, not okay. really.
You never took a hostage or assaulted anyone?
Nothing, none of that.
Okay. Then you were assigned to solitary for different periods of time, the total 360 days, or 360 days continuous?
Well, Steve, it was I did like 10 stints of solitary confinement, and it ranged from different things. The time most that I've served there on 360 was like 9 to 10 months.
Okay.
Because they would make me eligible for the STEP program, which would allow you to get out a little earlier.
Okay.
Many times I would serve all my time.
Okay, so this is about a cell that's, is this 6 feet wide?
This is about 6 feet, 2 inches, something like that.
Okay. And how long would you be in here? Would you be in here 24 hours a day, or would you be released 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week? Tell us how often you would be let out of a cell like this, which, do I understand, inmates call these the hole?
They also call it the hole. It depends on what your activity is. You may be let out if you have an appointment to go see the nurse, or the doctor, clinical service, or you might have a library pass. You'll be let out briefly for an hour. If you're not let out for that, you may go to rec maybe 3 times a week, and they will let you out for 1 hour.
Okay, and rec would be what?
Rec would be, they would take you to a wire fence on a concrete slab, and they would have you separated from other inmates.
So you're still in you're isolation. Still in
isolation, and they would give you a coat if it's cold, and that's about it. Maybe some gloves if there's some there.
Okay. Well, which brings me to this question. What would you have in here? This is obviously a mattress. Would you have a pillow? Would you have a blanket? Would you have a washcloth? Would you, and what type of toiletries would you have?
Well, Steve, upon entering the solitary confinement cell, they would give you a pillow. They would give you a pillowcase. They would give you a roll of tissue. They would give you an ink pen insert, just the insert of an ink pen. They would give you a piece of paper. They would give you a startup kit, request form, and you're required at the next route to request another form or to turn in a form to allow you to get another form. They would give you a toothbrush. They would give you also a toothpaste, mm-hmm. small toothpaste. A little small toothbrush you would get.
And you explained the lights are never off in here. What about the temperature, both in winter and summer?
The temperature basically remained the same. There was no change in the temperature. For some reason, you couldn't tell the difference for people who stayed there for long lengths of time. You could barely tell the change of temperature. But in the wintertime, it was really cold because the heat rises to the top because of the height of the cell. Other than that, it's just cold in the cell.
Well, public radio in Maine made a recording of noises in a solitary confinement cell in that state, Maine. And let's play a little bit of that. And I want to ask you if it was similar to what you heard when you were in solitary in Wisconsin.
bring back any memories, Talib?
Yes, it does, Steve. It does. And it does sound similar to that, and even worse.
What are we hearing?
You're hearing people banging against the commode. You hear people banging against the wall, hollering, yelling, just acting silly or just out of their mind. And that goes on sometime for three shifts.
Was there any interaction? In other words, if people banged on a door or the commode, were they sending some code to the inmate next door? Were they trying to get a response from the guard? Or that's just a lot of noise. What's the purpose of that noise from inmates in solitary?
Sometimes it's just to gain attention because they have nothing else to do. And some of them are just mentally ill like that. Many times they bang on the cell trying to get an officer's attention to come down to see what the problem is. And you might have a group of people banging to support that person because that person might have yelled out, "I need a doctor, I need a nurse." And a lot of people would join in with them, kicking, to force the correctional officer to come and see what the problem is.
What about meals? Where did you get meals when you were in solitary?
Well, Talib, they would serve meals through a trap door.
Okay.
At the top. And if you wanted a restriction in some sort, you would have to pick that meal. You would have to come to the door to get your meal. And if you didn't come to the door when they're serving meal, you wouldn't eat.
Okay.
And that's usually the way you get your meal is through the trap in the door.
Okay.
When they do that, some officer would drop slam the trap door. Otherwise, put the key in the door and just let it drop. You have a 2-pound door, 5-pound door just dropping. Bang! That will wake you up many times, but you have to get up to get your food. Okay. And many times, that's what they would do. They would put the key in the door, twist it, and just let the trap door drop.
When you spend that many years in Wisconsin prisons, as you did, you were exposed to a whole range of inmates in terms of dumb ones, smart ones, you know. My question is this. Aren't there some inmates that deserve time in solitary?
Well, there are some.
Who should
but for
be?
A period of time. A person who is violent or just don't want to follow good direction. Some are just fightful. They have a chip on their shoulder, and you can tell those people because they just won't listen to anyone. And sometimes some inmates will assault you. Some have enemies. They might put two inmates in the same environment who may have a grudge, who may know each other from the county jail, or one may have told on the next one, or snitch. So, and they're going to fight. A person's going to fight or going to just pick a fight or assault if should be there. But a mentally ill person should not be there.
What's the toughest part of being in solitary in a Wisconsin prison? Is it the mental toll, or is it the lack of physical activity, or is it a combination of both? The toughest part of being in the hole?
All of the above.
All of the above. Which one got to you the most?
The mental part of it.
Did you have mental health issues before you were in solitary? And if you did, were they worsened by being in solitary?
Well, I did, and I would deny that I had some because of depression. But being in solitary confinement certainly exacerbates that problem. It makes it worse.
Were you able to get treatment for your depression when you were in solitary?
Well, actually not. An appointment would be made to just for someone to come talk to you. And that's about it. So someone would come speak with you by appointment. And that is about it.
Okay.
Why did you have this model built? Now, you've been out of prison since when, sir?
Since 2013, October the 10th.
Okay.
Why do you think it's so important that models like this of solitary cells are exhibited in our libraries and on the Capitol Square and things like this?
Well, Steve, I think the people should know. It's one of the things that I thought would be great for me to bring to the street, because I don't anticipate ever going back to prison. But my concern was, what could I bring to the community, the public, to allow them the opportunity to see what a prison solitary confinement cell look like, what it feels like. And so that was my concern, because I would never be there again, and I know that this hasn't ever been done before in such a way that people needed to know what it looks like in solitary confinement cell. I know how serious it is to get this information out, because one drawing I made was taken from me, and that's based upon a breach of security.
As you're aware, some people are not kind, and they would say, given the serious crimes that you committed, sexual assault, forgery, boy, criminals with that much activity on their sheet or on their record deserve time in solitary. How would you answer that?
Well, Steve, he goes back into the beginning. That's one side of the story. When you only hear one side of the story, you haven't heard it all. Coming through the criminal justice system is a big story. And once you go there and get in the predicament that I was, because I represented myself, so that's the first thing, I had bad representation. Mm-hmm. And my plea was not guilty. And so I had it even harder in prison, because I pleaded not guilty. And I'm still not guilty. But my concern is this, I'm not weighing that. I'm still working with that, it's a burden to me, because I've served the time. Regardless if my case is ever dismissed, I've served the time. But what it has done to me has changed my life. No matter what has been done to me, I'm forgiving the accusation, because I know that I didn't do anything, but I'm convicted. People don't understand what goes through the system. I'm speaking out because I have a lot to say, and it's bigger than me. I'm concerned, and my compassion is about how I have been treated, how other people are treated, because I was sent to prison as punishment, not to be punished. And living in prison for X amount of years, staying in solitary confinement for X amount of years, is punishment.
The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which sued the Department of Corrections, did a story earlier this year that said, quoted DOC officials as saying, we are making some of these changes. And I want to get your reaction to some of them. Excuse me. No longer would solitary be used for minor rule infractions. It would cut the number of time that inmates spend in solitary cells for serious offenses. All sentences of more than 120 days in solitary would have to be reviewed by the Secretary of the Department of Corrections. No one could be in solitary for more than 90 days for most serious offenses. Do you consider these changes progress?
Yes, Steve, I would consider it as progress if it's true. That's the other side of it. If it's true, if it's verified that this is the scenario, this is the situation, it is a significant change, and it helps.
Okay.
Any little bit helps.
Okay.
And if that's true, it helps. But if it hasn't been verified, It means nothing.
So you want to see follow through on some of these changes.
Absolutely.
Do you, other than, you do some public appearances and we're thankful that you're on Wisconsin Eye. When you talk to young people that are at risk or offenders that have been released from prison, what do you say in terms of life lessons and give them advice, sir?
One of the most important things I tell them, Steve, is to remember what will land you in prison. And it's people, places, and things. If the people you're associating with are going to get you in trouble, stay away from them. If the places that you're frequent are going to get you in trouble, get you locked up, stay away from them. If the places that you go are going to get you in trouble, stay away. I think I might have messed up on that, but the things, if you have things that's going to get you in trouble, leave them alone.
Well,
people, places, and things.
You're bringing part of then your personal story, so maybe share that with us to a little bit. Were you raised in Wisconsin? I mean, you now live in Madison. Did you grow up in Wisconsin? How did you get to a point where you made some wrong choices to leave?
Well, see if it goes back. I'm a country boy. I was born and raised in Mississippi. My education, and we have talked about the Reverend Jerry Hancock and Reverend John Mix about what land most people in prison, and that's addiction, mental illness, and education. Not in that exact order, but I did have a lack of education. And that itself will land you in prison because you can't make money, you can't do things you with your experience or education, you're going to go to prison 9 times out of 10 because you're going to hang with the wrong folk. Or if you're mentally ill and don't know no better, or if you have an addiction, you're going to go to prison. My problem was basically education.
Because you only went, how far were you allowed to go in school?
Well, I was picking cotton when I was 10 years old.
Picking cotton when you were 10?
10 years old. It's, rather than me being in school, I had to pick cotton.
Okay.
And so my education was quite low.
What brought you to Wisconsin?
What brought me to Wisconsin was a dream that I could become a businessman, opening up a club. And that's what happened in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that's where all my troubles started, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But nonetheless, I see Wisconsin as a great place to live, but the system is broken. And once you get into the system, you're done. It's hard to recover.
Talk about life for you since your release in 2013. Have you been able to find a career or jobs? How's it going since you've been released, sir?
Steve, my thought frame of mind began to develop a long time before I got out. The problems I was going to have. My experience as far as getting a job is not good, but my ability to create a job is good. So that sustained me.
Okay.
My ability to other people have gotten me places to stay. I became a property manager for a guy who believed in me. He allowed, rented me a room. And so I've had no problem with getting housing. And so through the grace of the Almighty, I have been blessed. I've had, through my time here, good people behind me, religious organization, caucus, and so I haven't had it as bad as some people.
Okay.
Of course, I did get out, and I was homeless, and I didn't have to be homeless, but I experienced that because I wanted to. I wanted to see how it felt for a couple of months. But my life has been uplifted by being in Madison, Wisconsin. And I have good things to say about many people whom I never thought that I would come in contact with.
So are you now working and paying taxes?
I am a taxpayer. I am working. Okay. And I own my own little residence. And I'm doing good by the grace of other people helping me.
Well, we're almost out of time, so maybe one final question. What do Wisconsin Eye viewers watching this show need to know about solitary confinement in Wisconsin prisons?
Solitary confinement is torture. The Religious Organization Against Torture has determined that over 15 days in solitary confinement is torture. Accepting that, we have this model that can be reviewed. We have all the evidence that solitary confinement is torture. And we should band together and fight this torture.
Although you said some inmates deserve solitary, are you saying nobody should be in it for more than 30 days? Or more than X number of days?
It should be followed. The policy should be followed as far as the National Religious Against Torture should be followed.
I see.
Under rare circumstances, should a person spend very much time in solitary confinement without treatment?
I understand. Well, Talib Akbar, thanks very much for talking to Wisconsin Eye and joining us in a place that the memories aren't too good, but thank you so much.
Steve, it has been my pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.